Lost to Cleveland, 124-117. The Bulls lost to the Knicks in New York, 110-92. Both teams off tonight. NHL, the Blackhawks skated home tonight against Colorado. College basketball, NIT quarterfinals. Marquette hosts Penn State tonight in Milwaukee. The winner moves on to New York and Madison Square Garden for the NIT semifinals. The forecast from the National Weather Service. First day of spring. Spring equinox is at 11:15 this morning. It's going to come in cold. Partly sunny, windy, and cold. A high of 35. Winds up to 20 miles per hour. This morning, wind for the northeast at 16. 28 Racine and Kenosha. Wind chill is zero. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 8:10, the morning show with Greg Berg next.
Support for The Morning Show comes from Jack Andrea. For over 100 years, Jack's has been celebrating spring with the finest in Easter treats, from their famous Pecton jelly beans to solid milk and dark chocolate bunnies. Let them assemble the perfect Easter baskets for your loved ones. Support for The Morning Show also comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information is available at carthage.edu/grad. And we welcome you to the Tuesday Morning Show. The time is exactly 12 minutes after 8 o'clock. And we welcome you to the Tuesday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Very glad to be sitting across the table from Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, who visits the morning show once a month. And these are exciting days for Gateway, and very much exciting days for the whole sector of manufacturing. And we're going to be talking about that today, and in particular, sort of manufacturing at the highest level, advanced manufacturing, and where all of this is going and how you can perhaps be part of it. And we have two special guests with us that we will introduce in just a moment. But first, Brian Albrecht, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg. It's always great to be here.
Good to have you here. It's, as I said, a wildly busy, exciting time right now at Gateway. And one thing making kind of standard operation even more exciting is the addition of some telecommunications boot camps going on right now. Explain what happens at those.
You know, it's a perfect introduction there, because you mentioned we're going to talk about advanced manufacturing today, and often on our program we've highlighted our boot camp programs for computer numerical control and welding and other manufacturing related programs. But this week I had a chance to visit our telecommunications boot camp. So this is fiber optic installers, you know, the folks that are really protecting our homes through data, and just an exciting boot camp program. The students there earn certifications, international certifications from Belden Corporation, and highly sought after by companies like AT&T and Midwest Fiber and others. So all of these great cables that run between our homes that connect our computers to, you know, all of the different devices that we have, those are the folks that are doing all of that. And I want to just give a great big congratulations to all the folks that are in the telecommunications boot camp. And also this week, our computer numerical control boot camp, CNC program, in partnership with Ellsworth Correctional Facility. All of those women will be graduating this week from their program as well. So a big congratulations to everyone.
Wonderful. I know that you wanted to share some numbers about something that is very exciting, which connects Gateway with high school students in the area who, in a sense, want to kind of get a head start on an education at Gateway.
Yeah, you know, it's absolutely critical. The talent pipeline exists at many different levels. Our partnerships at the elementary, middle school, specifically our high schools, and then, of course, on to post-secondary education to help create awareness and pathways for people to earn the skills to get great jobs. And while we work with our high schools in many different ways on career fairs, and, you know, we help develop curriculum that's going to help support high school teachers and provide ongoing professional development, a key aspect of all of that is what happens at the end. What's the end result? And this last academic year, 2017-18, we had over 2,800 high school students earn Gateway College credits while they were in high school. Some call it dual credit. You've probably heard of that before. You take a class in high school, and then you also get college credit for it. And many different ways to do that, professional development for teachers, articulation agreements. In many cases, we also have contract for services where a gateway faculty member is at the high school delivering the program. And 2,800 students participated last year, saving families $1,444,000. So when they take dual credit, they don't have to pay tuition. It's free for the students. So that is a huge number. But that's just the beginning, because currently this year, halfway through the year, we had 5,900 students taking Gateway College credit.
Wow.
So I anticipate that our savings to our families and our parents will be well over $2.4 million at the end of the year. And so those are big numbers, the largest in the state. Very proud of the way that our teams have developed articulated pathways from high school onto Gateway, and then, of course, if they choose, onto one of our great universities. So Gateway is here on both ends, helping high school students and helping adults transition into baccalaureate degree programs. And to know that it's helping to create an affordability model for our community, and all students now and their parents should be looking at ways to take advantage of dual credit programs.
Fantastic. Yeah, it sounds like Gateway really is has it down to a science in more ways than one in terms of, making it easy and making it workable. And
you know, we have a program called our New Student Specialist where there is a Gateway staff member in every high school at least one day a week, in many cases more than one day, but at least one day a week working with counselors, parents, students, teachers, administrators on helping to build the awareness of those pathways, which is appropriate because oftentimes it's hard to know what all the career paths that are out there and what courses are being offered that could be leveraged into college credit earlier. So it keeps students engaged, it helps provide new resources for the K-12 school district, and really helps to build a talent pathway for our community.
Before we introduce our guests and get to today's topic, I know you want to talk about the American Technical Education Association and a conference that's coming up.
Thank you very much for introducing that. It's happening today, actually. We start moving in today. Gateway will be hosting this year's American Technical Education Association Conference. It's a 90-year-old organization, rooted with a mission very similar to our own here at the college, to provide ongoing professional development for teachers in technical careers. So these are 230 of the top technical programs around the country that will all be coming to Gateway in the next 3 days.
Wow.
To explore five pathways, and we've identified five key areas that we think would add great incentive to folks to attend, but then also great opportunities for them to learn. One will be in the area of information technology, another one in healthcare, one in advanced manufacturing, transportation, public safety, and so sustainability. We're really excited to be hosting it, but more excited to be able to learn from all of our guests that are coming to campus.
Wow, very good. Well, as if things weren't already exciting enough. And now we want to be able to talk about the two important gentlemen you've asked to join us here, one a longtime member of the Gateway family and someone else who's practically family, if not officially
right.
in the Gateway family.
We consider him part of the family here, absolutely.
So we have Ray Kukari, who's one of the deans here at Gateway, the dean of the Manufacturing, Engineering, and Information Technology sector. It's great to have you back on the morning show.
Well, thank you. It's been great to be here, actually.
And Matt Kirchner, who is president of Lab Midwest and has been on the morning show at least once before. We're glad you found your way back to WGTD in the morning show.
Thanks for having me back again. It's a pleasure.
So you have been around a long time, Ray. Exactly how long have you been at Gateway, doing what, and what are you doing now as dean?
Well, I'm going into my 15th year here, 2 years prior to that adjunct, so maybe 17th year. I am now the dean for the School of Manufacturing, Engineering, and IT, and that's something new for Gateway. We pulled that together this past January, actually in response to Industry 4.0, which is what we're going to kind of talk about today.
But so that folds into kind of that approach to technology and manufacturing, to approach it that way? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's correct. It's bringing the engineering side of things together. It's bringing direct feeds to manufacturing. And then the IT part of this, which for a long time we only had at the front end of businesses, is now really needed at the back end of businesses. In infrastructure, big data, analytics, lots of things that are exciting.
So folding it all together.
Yeah, and Ray's the perfect person to lead this for us. His background in IT and cybersecurity, and helped build for us, if you will, the IT Center of Excellence on the Racine campus. Led the Racine campus for us for many years, and now has moved out to the IMET Center. And I'm always reminded about just maybe it's just our brilliance, or maybe it's a little bit of luck. But when we renamed the Cat Eye Center, IMET, the idea was integrated manufacturing and engineering technology. So the integration of all those disciplines, and that's exactly what has evolved here in our community as we look at Industry 4.0, and the automation systems are all based on integration of not only engineering and manufacturing system, but now also IT systems. So Ray's a great champion for that.
That's terrific.
Thank you.
So you're now at the IMET Center, but you were at the IT, or you... Yeah, IMET Center, but also the new IT Center for Excellence, two really important facilities here at Gateway. Describe them both to our listeners.
Sure. The IT Center of Excellence is a state-of-the-art learning center for IT instruction in all fields, from networking, cybersecurity, web programming, software development, computer support, help desk, all of those disciplines, and it really has a unique flavor there. In the way of technology and how it's delivered. So exciting place. The IMET Center.
And actually, Ray, I think you have a group from ATEA coming to the IT Center. Is that right?
That's correct.
What
we
are
do.
The types of things that they're going to be learning in that path?
Actually, they're going to be learning about the Industrial Internet of Things, which is literally what the new buzzwords are. But it's really everything around us that's connected to the Internet. Mm. And there are a lot of things. So that's exciting. That will be one of the things they're learning. And they're also learning a web certification pathway where they can actually get certified in HTML5 and current technologies.
Very good. And then the IMET Center?
The IMET Center is such a unique facility. It's so exciting to be there, to see the brilliant people that are there and the brilliant people that come in. They motivate you to actually exceed all your expectations. We have people in ninth grade there from the real school who every day amaze me when I walk into those classrooms, because they're doing college-level work, and they're really good at it. And it's exciting to see, and it really jazzes you up for the whole day. We also have a great mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, civil engineering. We have water, architectural, manufacturing processes in CNC, tool and die, and the list goes on. It's really exciting time out there.
Wow.
You know, it's pretty unique because in the beginning of the program, we talked a little bit about articulation and the dual credit. And Ray mentioned the real school. This is Racine Unified's high school that's located just a few blocks from the IMET Center. So those students attend Gateway courses in the morning at IMET are earning high school credit and college credit. And as we build this model out over the next 3 or 4 years, those students will actually complete up to 25 or 30 college credits while they're in high school, essentially a college degree while they're in high school. And that model is really going to help us sustain this innovative model of advanced manufacturing and integrated skills, because, as we know, students today are much more adept to technology than maybe some of our adult learners. So this is going to be a great integration of young learners, adult learners in a really creative environment.
Fantastic. Well, it's time to welcome back to the program Matt Kirchner, who is president of Lab Midwest. And you were on the program a couple of years ago, and then as now, there is a very exciting partnership between Lab Midwest and Gateway that we are excited to get an update about. But first, remind our listeners what Lab Midwest is.
Happy to. Certainly, let's start with, you mentioned the word excitement. There is just a tremendous energy here at Gateway, and what a pleasure to be associated with Dean Kakari, with Dr. Albrecht. You know, we spend time with community and technical colleges all over the region and all over the country, and nowhere is the spirit of innovation more alive than it is here at Gateway. So it's really a pleasure to be here. I was 23 years in manufacturing, ran three different manufacturing companies, the CEO of two of them and chief operating officer of a third. And it doesn't come as a surprise to anybody that our biggest challenge was finding great people. So when we sold our manufacturing company 2 years ago, my wife Renee and I wanted something that had a mission attached to it. We acquired Lab Midwest, and our business is really all about helping anybody who is willing to work on it prepare the workforce of the future. And it's a big job, but that's what we spend time doing. So we distribute curriculum, e-learning, training equipment on an exclusive basis and a highly value-added basis to prepare students and learners for careers in advanced manufacturing, STEM, and now Industry 4.0.
Wow.
And I could not be more proud of the partnership that we have with Matt and Renee and the entire team at Lab Midwest. They spend an awful lot of time at Gateway and other colleges learning how the systems work. and then bringing that industry experience to overlay the educational model of delivery. So you have curriculum that's going to be fairly seamless, faculty members that can integrate those experiences and really deliver the outcomes that are necessary, students getting the right skills to get jobs in the communities in which we serve. So Matt has been a real champion for all of us here at Gateway, but really building out a regional and national discussion around Industry 4.0.
So, for instance, what does Lab Midwest bring to Gateway specifically, or a school like Gateway?
Absolutely. So we partner with a group of about 17 different suppliers, and they are all world-class developers of curriculum in a variety of disciplines, everything from CNC to welding to powder coating to mechatronics to fluid power, really a wide variety of manufacturing disciplines. And so we will partner with an organization like Gateway first to understand where their organization is going. It doesn't do us any good to try and help them until we understand their goals. So we spend a lot of time understanding where they want to go. And in this case, it's been pretty clear with the transformation that's taking place in southeastern Wisconsin and across the state with industrial technology. And then we bring to bear curriculum and learning solutions to that challenge, working really closely with their faculty, and what a fabulous and tremendous faculty we have here at Gateway Technical College, to understand what they're trying to teach in their programs, and then how we can integrate curriculum, e-learning solutions, and hands-on skills on authentic manufacturing technology for the benefit of their students.
Right. So you help in the development of curriculum and help with sort of some of the resources that are necessary to deliver it.
Exactly.
Okay.
So a good example would be we partner with Rockwell Automation, and we have Rockwell training equipment. We've developed some curriculum ourselves to help students understand how to utilize that equipment. Matt has done the same thing with Rockwell. So he brings the industrial side to that equation, and now we have the real-world application of Rockwell Automation in an industrial setting, but it's also in an educational setting. So bringing the two pieces together, now our training program is really aligned with the expectations of the employer.
Gotcha. And that's the seamlessness
Correct.
You were talking about.
Yes.
Absolutely wonderful. Matt Kirchner, one of the things we're talking about today is this notion of advanced manufacturing, or Industry 4.0, smart manufacturing is sometimes what it's called. It's a new world, but for people who are not a part of that world, they probably don't begin to understand all of the ways in which this sector of our economy has changed so dramatically. What are the most significant ways in which it has changed and lives up to names like advanced manufacturing and smart manufacturing? What's smart about it? What's advanced about it?
Absolutely. There's really two things that are driving this advent of Industry 4.0, the idea that we are on the verge of the fourth industrial revolution across the globe, bringing cyber-physical systems and connected systems to bear in the manufacturing world. So there's really two drivers. The first one is the advent of what we call smart sensors and smart devices, which really change where and how decisions are made in manufacturing. In the manufacturing world that I grew up in, we made decisions using people, whether it was a machine operator, a supervisor, a vice president, a CEO, and almost every decision in manufacturing was made using people. Now with the advent of smart devices and smart sensors, items that we can essentially use to communicate with each other and can make decisions on their own, we're relying increasingly on equipment itself, whether it's a robot or a CNC machine or a robotic weld cell, to analyze what's happening right at the point of manufacturing and then make changes on the fly. And so that's the first major change, is just this advent and this addition of smart sensors and smart devices into manufacturing. The second part is the increasing use of automation. And so as we look at jobs that maybe historically have been more routine, mundane, in some cases maybe posed a risk to the worker, we can increasingly replace those jobs, or replace those tasks with automation and robotics, which really fundamentally changes what we expect from employees and creates some pretty significant opportunities for them. Those are the two major changes in Industry 4.0.
You know, and it's essential because we think about just the way we like to live our lives, right? Smartphones, smart technology, smart grid, smart everything.
Yeah.
And just the other day, I was watching a little television, and I saw an advertisement for the new doorbell where it takes a picture of the images of the people that are coming to your door.
Oh.
It'll send you a notice on your phone, and it'll let you be able to communicate through the internet to the people that are at your front door. And then last night they had one on the new cars that have sensors on them that will automatically self-correct if you swerve off the road a little bit. And so the whole idea of smart sensors and the machinery of our lives, phones, doorbells, cars, talking to each other and then talking to us. And that's really an environment, I think, that is thriving in our society, and it takes smart manufacturing to produce products like that.
Right. And, of course, if people have kind of an antiquated, out-of-date image of what the typical factory is like, most people don't begin to imagine that the way our daily lives have changed, that the world of manufacturing has changed as well. Again, if you're not part of that world, most people just don't begin to understand how much that has changed.
Absolutely. We drive by some of the great companies in our community every day, right? And oftentimes we just assume that it's being managed and functioned the same way it did 20, 30 years ago, and it's just not true. Our companies today are very high tech. The types of jobs and skills that are required are very different, and that's where Gateway comes in. We're building out new programming to help support that technology.
Well, this brings us back to you, Ray Kakari, because in this new world, of course, then we're really talking about a very different skill set for just about anybody who works within the walls of a manufacturing plant. So what kinds of things do students need to be learning now, and what consequences does that have for a place like Gateway, who is in the business of training them?
Sure. Actually, a lot of things we've taught in the past are not going to go obsolete, because we still need IT skills. We still need mechanical engineering, electrical engineering skills, welding skills, CNC skills. But what has happened is now we have that integration that Brian was talking about, because it's all around that data from sensors and smart sensors and analog sensors. We still have that. And we need to learn how to actually integrate all that stuff. So we're working on a degree right now called Advanced Manufacturing, which leads right into all of this. And that Advanced Manufacturing degree will be an associate degree that we'll offer. And we're actually starting this fall with that program. So it's really exciting. It brings all of these skills together from the mechanical side, the electrical side, the IT side of the house, and PLCs, and brings them all and integrates them into one solid program.
You know, so it's like an evolution. It's not that we're getting rid of everything we taught in the past. It's really what's the next step for all of that. And I love the idea of Industry 4.0, but there actually was an Industry 3.0, Industry 2.0, Industry 1.0. And so even the idea of smart manufacturing is just the next stage in a continuum of ongoing learning and the way that our products are made and developed with our manufacturing partners.
It's so exciting. And I should think, Ray Kakari, that this is something that could be of tremendous interest, for instance, high school students. I mean, once they understand the whole notion, I mean, it's just kind of a limitless array of possibilities it opens up.
Thank you. It is exciting in the high schools, and Matt has helped us actually go around to the high schools and actually talk about the equipment and the sensors that are being used out there. But at the same time, we've developed a certificate for the high schools that will lead right into this degree, and it can be taught at the high schools or at Gateway. So it's exciting because it has four basic courses to it. The industrial control systems, which helps us get around the automated manufacturing and how that all works. We have mechatronics, which is the microprocessor controls and how to program them. The industrial robotics course, which actually helps people learn how to program robots, which most of the students really like. In fact, they were playing with one out at Elkhorn High School just the other day with Matt. And then the industrial Internet of Things, again, with these smart sensors and actuators to actually take action before anything really seriously happens. And we have these every day in our lives. We don't realize it, but a lot of warranties now come with your device must be hooked to the Internet so it can communicate and let us know that it's failing. So a technician can come out on my new furnace and literally it'll know before I do that it needs service.
Wow.
I think Ray makes a really good point. We talked today specifically about manufacturing, but you could pick any industrial sector, healthcare, education, building automation systems for the HVAC industry, transportation, logistics. They all are imparted now with the smart technologies.
Incredible. For those of you just joining us today on The Morning Show, it's the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. With us is one of the deans of Gateway, Ray Kakari, dean of the Manufacturing Engineering and Information Technology School. And we're also happy to welcome back Matt Kirchner, a very good friend of Gateway. He is president of Lab Midwest. Matt Kirchner, earlier in the interview, you mentioned the whole notion of smart devices in the manufacturing sector of our economy. I would love to have you talk a little bit more about what we mean by this notion of smart devices, particularly in this sector, and also how we got here. What prompted the manufacturing sector to go in this direction? And is this something that you yourself saw even back when you were yourself a CEO of a company?
Well, we've certainly seen a tremendous amount of evolution of manufacturing technology, Greg, over the course of, you know, the course of the 25 years that I spent in manufacturing. So, as Brian suggested, the smart devices and smart sensors are just another step in that evolution. I think it's really a convergence, like so many changes, of two different things. The first one is the change in how we as consumers view technology and what we expect from products. We expect them to be higher quality. We expect them to be smarter, as Ray suggested. We want them now. I mean, we ordered some displays the other day online in the morning, and they showed up at our office in the afternoon. And, oh, by the way, we want all of that at a lower price. And so the changes in consumer demand are really, in a lot of ways, forcing manufacturers to figure out how they respond to that demand. Products need to be much more customized. We need to manufacture them much closer to the point of use because everybody wants them now. And that is what has really driven the advent of these smart devices and smart sensors, along with changes in technology. So, you know, we talk about what we call Moore's Law, which drives the exponential economy. Products double in price performance every 12 to 18 months. Our ability to process information digitally doubles every 12 to 18 months. And as that changes, we're able to embed more and more technology right at the point of manufacturing. And that is really what a smart device does and what a smart sensor does. For example, when in my days in manufacturing, if we wanted to make a change to a chemistry tank, for instance, somebody would take a sample of that tank, somebody else would analyze it, somebody else would figure out what we needed to add to the tank, and somebody else would add it. Well, now we can do all of that with a smart device. We can measure things like pH and temperature and moisture and viscosity and force, all these things right at the point of a robot, right at the point of that tank, and have an automatic feeder feed that chemistry right in. And so it allows us to be much more flexible in the way that we manufacture products.
Wow.
And you think about that in the context of a school, of a classroom, of a lab, of Gateway, and the challenges that it takes to be able to be as flexible and as adaptable to the changes in technology and update our curriculum and make sure that we have professional development for faculty and give students real hands-on experiences of what they're going to explore. And that's where Ray and Matt have really been strong partners and allies in helping us develop those new experiences for high school students and now for our new advanced manufacturing associate degree.
Right. Because what President Albrecht's pointing to, of course, is that the way all of this is changing is rather bewildering, exciting but bewildering for all of us who are just the people who drive these new cars and have these new furnaces and so on in our homes. But then you're talking about the challenge of really staying ahead of that curve, not sort of coming to understand it, but being in the driver's seat. I mean, understanding it well enough to teach others about it and so on, and also anticipating where all of this goes. I can't imagine what a steep challenge that is, especially to be on the delivery end of the education of all of this, and particularly at all these different levels.
Absolutely.
How do you do that?
Well, and I think there's a message there for every individual and for educators. You know, we I stay on top of it by committing to teaching others about it. And so, you know, for instance, I keynoted an event in Indianapolis last week. Did a fair amount of research in preparation for that keynote address. Spent a lot of time with industrial employers, spent a lot of time with educators, spent a lot of time with technology folks, understanding how it's changing. Because what's happening in Industry 4.0 today is in a lot of ways different than what was happening a year or 2 years ago even, which creates tremendous challenges for making sure we stay on top of the technology. If you have a passion for it and a strong interest for it, kind of makes it a hobby, and I would say that's probably the biggest driver for me is it's just incredibly fascinating to educate myself on the changes that are taking place.
Yeah, I'm always intrigued by, and you could pick any product, any device, any technology, but one that always comes to mind is when you look at a car and people open the hood and say, I can't even work on my own car anymore, right? And I go like, you know, but somebody has to,
right.
And those are smart technicians, and those are the folks that are being trained. I can't fix my own washing machine. Yes, but somebody has to be able to do that. And so when we look at the types of services and knowledge and skills that our students have today. And it's impressive when they go out into these industries and are able to adapt to the, you know, the 50 computers that integrate your car that make it operate, and that's an automotive technician today. Mm. When you take a look at someone going into a medical field where they not only have to be able to still do all the great patient care, but also assess all of those pieces of equipment that are in that room that are monitoring all of the different systems within your body. And so it's a different type of technical field, and it's a new age for technology education. And I think our communities and our society is recognizing that the value of technical education is really at a premium right now.
Right. Whenever you talk about cars, I always talk about Gomer Pyle back in Mayberry, and how you can't have Gomer Pyle working on your car anymore unless he's gone to Gateway.
Correct. There you go.
Been brought up to speed. Speaking of being brought up to speed, Ray Kukari, it might be interesting for us to have you talk about something called the Day of Code, which was kind of an outreach to middle school students in the area, which probably is a good example of what we're talking about in terms of this new era in which we're all living and working.
Well, thanks for bringing that up, Greg. I have to tell you, that was an exciting day, and it is every year. We've done it 3 years in a row, and our numbers have went up dramatically on how many middle school students have come through Gateway to actually be engaged in the Hour of Code. Literally, this year we had over 1,000 middle school students from all three counties. And the exciting part of this was you'd go into these classrooms, and you could drop a coin and hear it because everything's so quiet. They're totally engaged in programming, and they knew nothing when they came in the door. And this gives them the ability to move objects. Some of the classes, some of the middle schools are teaching some really good programming skills. Some of them were actually writing Java code from scratch by the end of the hour. It was an amazing experience for all of them. They also had a lot of fun while they were at Gateway. We make it a fun day for them, so they get to run around and see all the different labs that we have here at Gateway to get them excited about Industry 4.0 and the future of Gateway and them as a student, a future Red Hawk.
Fantastic.
Can I just add, so coding, maybe you could explain a little bit, Ray, but coding is really, as I understand, it's the DNA of all of this smart world, right? It's being able to manipulate the data, the inputs that allow machines to communicate with each other. And really helping to structure, if you will, the computer language.
It really is, Brian. And there's new things pushing us really fast. And that's, you hear the word AI a lot, artificial intelligence. And that is a key component of Industry 4.0, where it's actually creating subroutines that it's learning from us. So as we're changing, you think about things like the Google car. It had 4 million actual road miles. And it had 4 billion simulated miles. One driver, though, in one car didn't have all of that. But the system is smart enough to go up to the cloud, grab all this data, and bring it to that one car. Now that one car has 4 billion miles that of accumulated experience, so it can now drive, and all these obstacles it used to have are now gone. So it's just amazing learning that's happening because of this. And that's only one little area. So we're going to see lots more of that. I mean, we're going to see autonomous cars, trucks, buses. I mean, they're all coming, and they're coming fast.
Wow. Incredible. So Matt Kirchner, one of the things that maybe might seem like the dark side of all of this is that when we start talking about smart devices and automation and so on, we also talk about a manufacturing plant changing drastically, and here are workers there who, first of all, might find that what they do, their own job, may be eliminated altogether, or certainly changed dramatically. I mean, and are they just out of luck? And I suspect your answer to that question is no.
Well, first of all, let me mention that I'm now 150 discussions on advanced automation and robotics, and every single time somebody has asked the "Will the robot take my job?" question. So good to know that I still have my perfect record. It can be scary, you know. 20 years in manufacturing tells me one thing, if nothing else, and that is that the American worker is tremendously adaptable. We lived through the advent of programmable logic controllers, of robots, you know, 20 and 30 years ago. Of lean manufacturing, of standardized quality systems. At every step, the American worker has found ways to take that technology and those changes, use it to their own benefit, use it to the benefit of their employer and to their employer's customers. And Industry 4.0 won't be any different. I had the question last week from somebody at the address that I gave in Indianapolis where they said, will the robot take my job? And my answer is only if you let it. I'm not going to let the robot take my job. I'm going to continue to sharpen my skills. I'm going to understand how technology changes what it is that I do day in, day out to make sure that I can continue to leverage technology the way that we have literally for hundreds and hundreds of years, if not longer. The difference is that Industry 4.0, number one, will make jobs more interesting. They will make them better paying, and they will make them safer. Who among us wouldn't want a safer, better paying, more interesting job? But with that opportunity comes a corresponding responsibility, and that is that as technology changes, workers have to sharpen their skills. We're going to be hearing about new jobs like automation technician and electromechanical technician and robot control or robot programmer, control systems technician, cloud architects, software engineers, data scientists, data analysts. All of these technologies converging create huge opportunities that also require new skills. So the answer to the worker who has a concern about will my job be replaced by a robot is only if you let it, and the way not to let it is to sharpen your skills. We're sitting on a campus today that has a tremendous commitment to workforce development, not just for current students, but for the entire workforce in southeastern Wisconsin. And I think engaging with an organization like Gateway Technical College, continuing to learn how this technology is going to change, enables an individual to take advantage and end up in a better paying, safer, and more interesting job.
Right.
You know, I think in a time in our economy when unemployment is low and people assume that there are just jobs out there and I can just go get a job, I think the key is what Matt suggests here is that you might be able to get a job, but how do you perform and produce in that job and maintain and then ultimately sustain that job and keep it something that's going to be a viable career path for you. And ongoing education is just a part of life. We've talked about it our entire careers here, lifelong learning. There's many different ways to describe it. But the whole idea of upgrading your skills and taking advantage of some of the new opportunities that are out there are really what is, I think, exciting for our students here. And we see it every day as they walk through our hallways, exploring some of the new labs that we have and talking with our employer partners about what their future career path might look like.
Mm. So, Ray Kakari, tell us what Gateway has to offer, for instance, the typical adult who might find themselves confronted by these new realities and wants to do their best to try to adapt to them. And are these things that are offered at IMET or at other parts of Gateway through the three counties?
Well, we have lots of careers to actually help these adults. But I hope the first thing they'll do is contact us and come on a tour, see our labs, and get excited about being a student, because that's really what it's about. They have to want this new career and this new technology and these new smart sensors, robot training, and all that stuff. So I encourage that. So CRNSS is come take a tour of any one of our campuses. And no, it won't only be offered at IMET. The beauty is we'll offer this at the Elkhorn campus as well as the IMET Center. We'll offer it in high schools because I told you about that certificate and those four courses. But we'll also offer it in industry. There's many times industries, they're already at maybe 3.0 and they want to go up a little bit, maybe not all the way to 4.0, but they need some advanced training in a specific field. We'll actually do training right at the plant to help their employees. So we have all kinds of different options available.
I love this field because we have open houses all the time. We bring juniors and seniors from high school in, want to show them the labs, help them think about their future. Oftentimes they bring their parents. And just a couple of weeks ago, we had a parent in here, and they were so excited. They're like, can I take these courses? Can I do this as well? The answer, of course, is yes, you can. We enjoy having adults here as well as the younger students. But the opportunities are endless. And as Ray mentioned, not only in manufacturing, but all different fields of study, over 65 associate degree programs here at Gateway, 100 diploma programs. So I think if someone's interested in learning about what's new in their current work state or what they might transition into a new career, just coming to campus and exploring it is the best way to find out.
Right. Matt Kirchner, we've been talking mostly about Gateway, but I know that you do work that takes you kind of throughout the region a little bit. So is the whole state, and for that matter, the whole country, moving in this direction? And what's some of the work that you're doing to sort of help usher us along?
Absolutely. So certainly the country is moving in this direction. I would say that because of the changes here in southeastern Wisconsin and in the state of Wisconsin, we are moving at a much faster rate, in large part because we're going to have the most technologically advanced manufacturing facility on the face of the planet right here in our community, which is driving tons and tons of change. Just one example of some of the things that we're doing to prepare the region and to prepare the state for that change is the work that the M7 committee is doing. That committee is being chaired by Dr. Albrecht, and like everything that he does, it's incredibly inclusionary. I mean, there's just a tremendous amount of effort from industry, from educators, from experts on technology, and that's been an absolute pleasure to be a part of that committee. We're looking at how do we define what we need to be doing in terms of education, what we need to be doing in terms of preparing the workforce, and really educating the entire region on Industry 4.0. It still surprises me in some ways as I move around southeastern Wisconsin, the number of people that still, they understand something big is happening, but they don't understand the magnitude of what's happening. And even in the industrial and manufacturing sector, Industry 4.0 technology is going to fundamentally change every company in Wisconsin. And there's going to be two types of companies, people that embrace that change and take advantage of it and grow as a result, and the ones that don't. And so a big part of that committee's role is making sure that we're communicating that message. And then developing pathways such as the ones that Dean Kakari has discussed from elementary school all the way through industry to make sure that at every step of the road, individuals have the opportunity to benefit from these careers. I want it to be my neighbors, my friends, my family members that benefit from the change that's happening here in southeastern Wisconsin. Not that we don't welcome others from the outside, but I want to make sure that the people that are already here are taking advantage of those opportunities.
Matt makes some really good points. You talk about a regional effort, and no question Foxconn has heightened our awareness of the need for Industry 4.0. Their operations are fully integrated automated systems built around smart technology. You don't build liquid crystal glass technology without a lot of automation and robots to make it happen, right? It's just the way it is. The purification systems and the delicacy of those instruments are amazing. But that has forced us to look differently at the way that our current companies also operate. So whether it's a Rockwell, a Modine, a Twin Disc, Kenall Manufacturing, Snap-on Tools, Niagara Bottling, you can pick any company, and they're all vested in this idea of automation and smart technologies to do exactly what Matt suggests, make the workplace safer, make it more efficient and more effective to the delivery of the products, and make it more engaging for the employees so that they can maintain high levels of productivity to compete on a global scale.
Right,
and
so you're not just putting a bolt on a screw or whatever.
This is not just tweaking the system. This is really a complete overhaul, and that's what makes it so exciting, and that's what I think this whole region has benefited already just from the announcement of Foxconn.
Right, and it's interesting, too, that you mentioned that Foxconn is exceptionally integrated, and the fact that, nevertheless, in a plant like that, there will be thousands and thousands and thousands of people employed. So it's not that when you have this level of integration that you don't need people. You need
exactly.
lots of people.
I mean, so. We can just take a case study, Amazon, right here in Kenosha County, right? Because so there's 6,000 people that work there. And in fact, when you go online and order something from Amazon, you get the product in the afternoon or at least by the next day for sure. That isn't because there's a lot of people running around looking it for you, right? It's because the data is being transmitted and a system of automation is already picking and placing those items. But you still need a lot of people to actually make the delivery. So, yeah, it's people intensive and technology intensive.
Right, and so you need people who are really, really trained. Matt Kirchner, I understand you and President Albright are soon off to Japan. What is taking you to Japan? What's going to happen there?
Well, that's correct, Greg. Brian and I are actually heading over to Fanuc Robotics, just outside of Tokyo. We're going at the personal invitation of Mike Chico, who's the president and CEO of Fanuc America. And Fanuc, by the way, is the largest industrial robotics company in the world. 55% of industrial robots, or give or take, are Fanuc robots. And once a year in the springtime, they bring thought leaders in the field of advanced manufacturing from all over the globe. So we'll be with people from all over the world sharing ideas on changes in advanced manufacturing. Fanuc makes sure to carve out time to show us the latest and greatest Industry 4.0 technology. And I was there 2 years ago for this event, and it was really a seminal moment for me. I thought I ran cutting-edge manufacturing companies here in the United States, and in many ways we did. But as we looked at the changes in technology, literally robots building robots, robots predicting their own future failure and ordering their own replacement parts before the failure ever occurs, that's real. That technology is alive and well now. It really changed the way that I look at manufacturing. And so Fanuc, through their collaboration with Rockwell Automation that Dr. Albrecht mentioned, and their collaboration with Cisco and Preferred Networks is doing some really, really innovative things in the field of Industry 4.0. And so we're excited to see what's changed in the last 2 years since the last time I was there. And we're just really, really happy that Dr. Albrecht, who's incredibly busy, was able to carve out a few days from his loaded schedule to spend with us in Japan.
Wow.
I'm extremely proud to be invited, and I think it's going to be a great way to help me personally, but then more importantly, our college and our community understand the impact of automation and robotics, and FANUC being a great partner with Gateway is going to, I think, open new doors of opportunity for us. And I'm actually hoping that maybe they can build a robot to replace me. That would be really good. Most of our leadership team said, no, this gets you a bobblehead, Brian. And
oh,
it's
okay.
Fine.
All right, yeah. Right, there you go. Well, Ray Kukari, you don't get to go to Japan, but nope. Even better, you get to go to Michigan. So, right, yeah. But as part of the outreach to the same company, right?
Right. We were actually at FANUC in Michigan. Exciting trip. Some of the things that I learned personally were just the size of an object that robots can pick up today and the accuracy. It amazed me that they could pick up different if you took a mix of M&Ms and threw them out on a platform, it literally could pick up all the blue ones, all the yellow ones, all the green ones in order and put them in separate containers in so fast.
Wow.
That humanly it's not even possible to keep up. And then the size went from small robots to robots that, when I went out to the tour, were pulling up cars.
Wow.
Entire cars. So it was those were the amazing things to me. So robots are here. They are coming with great control and accuracy and also delicacy, because picking up M&Ms without crushing them isn't easy to do, and it did it with no trouble.
Wow. So it's astounding what they can do. So you're seeing this demand for automation not only because of Foxconn coming to our backyard, but I imagine all over the manufacturing sector.
Right, and I'm glad you asked that, because our advisory boards are meeting this month, and the welding one, for instance, it was really an exciting meeting. But one of the main topics, driving topics, was FANUC welders and who can train, and we can train. So it was really a good discussion on what their needs were and whether they wanted to come to our classes or have us come out to their businesses to actually train them on robotic welding. So really exciting times.
Yeah, yeah. Welding, surgery, robotic surgery. There's just an unlimited opportunity for us to integrate robotics into our daily work lives. And I think for most people, it would be intriguing to understand how that works. And for those technicians that are operating, building, programming, I think it's a career path that is really just beginning to emerge. And we're really proud that Gateway's on the leading edge of that.
Fantastic. So, Matt Kirchner, a final word from you to get us even more inspired?
Well, I'll tell you, with the ATEA show and convention starting here this week, what a tremendous amount of energy here at Gateway Technical College, and really has become one of the focal points in the country for advanced manufacturing technology. So the energy here, as I mentioned on the outset, is something that we see few other places. The leadership and the vision is something that's really special. We are just so privileged to be a very small part of that change, and really appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, I want to thank everybody for a really interesting conversation today. Ray Kukari, the Dean of Manufacturing Engineering and Information Technology here at Gateway. Matt Kirchner, the President of Lab Midwest. Thank you both for contributing to a really fascinating conversation about this wildly exciting world in which we're all living and working. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And,
of course, President Brian Albrecht, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for being here, and we look forward to seeing you again in April.
Thank you, Greg.
I'm Gregory Berg. Tomorrow on The Morning Show, we're going to be going into the archives to replay an interview from 15 years ago with one of the leading activists in the peace movement in the late 1960s and early 1970s. His name is Todd Gitlin, the author of a book published at the time, that is 15 years ago, called Letter to a Young Activist, in which Todd Gitlin recalls some of the work that he and his peers did in the peace movement. I thought it was timely to replay this interview because, of course, there are a host of young people stepping forward on the issue of gun control. And so we will hear some brief excerpts from some of what has been spoken by young people, actually on both sides of this political issue, a very divisive issue, of course. And then we will hear that conversation from Todd Gitlin, talking about some of the lessons that he learned in his own work as a peace activist. So that's tomorrow on the morning show. And by the way, on Thursday's morning show, we look forward to a visit from Dr. Art Sear, Clawson Distinguished Professor of Political Economy and World Business at Carthage. Support for the morning show comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information at carthage.edu/grad. Support also comes from Jack Andrea, featuring Easter candy, new apparel, and garden accessories in its recently remodeled gift shop. Open Monday through Friday from 9 until 6, Saturday 9 until 5.